Today's daf is Pesayim. We're going to start at the Mishnah, but before we start, I just want to review. I feel like at the end of yesterday, I didn't explain things clearly enough. When I look back, I realize this whole thing about when we talk about that toward the end of the daf, we said that Amar Rabbi Chanina Modeh Haya Rabbi Yehuda Linyan Bracha She'eno Mevarech Ela Bracha Achat, and we said that there's two different there's basically two different interpretations here about the bracha. So Rashi says, what happens here, you shechta chaya, then you do the kisoy adam, and then you shechta an oaf. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you need to do separate kisoy, he still thinks, now here what's the issue about eno mevarech ala bracha achat, that the shechita, you do the bracha on the shechita of the chaya, and you do a bracha on the shechita of the oaf, and when you do the kisoy in the middle, it's not a hefsek. That's why they compare it to Birkat HaMazon, which is considered a hefsek, right? That if you, it's hesech hadat. What's hesech hadat? That you all of a sudden had intent to do something else, and already you're stopping this, and you're starting something new. And then when you go back to the other thing, you would need to make a new bracha. So they view kisoy as not a hefsek here. It's not a hesech hadat, because it's all part of the same mitzvah. And then they say, well, what about this Birkat HaMazon? And I realize I explained it wrong. They were with, I said that Rav Yemar Saba said, let's make a bracha, but I looked after, I said, it's Amrule. They said to him, let's make a bracha, and meaning let's end the meal, and then they changed their mind and they said, let's drink. So then the issue is that once they said, let's make a bracha, meaning we want to end the meal, then that's called Hesech Hadat. They're no longer able to eat anything more in that meal unless they say Berkat HaMazon. There's actually a debate. Some people say, you just have to make a bracha rishona, and that's fine. In other words, let's say, okay, you decide you want a bench, and then you say, oh, wait, I want to eat something else. So you have to make a bracha rishona on it, but it can still be covered by your same Birkat HaMazon. That's how we paskin. But some people say it means you said you're going to do Birkat HaMazon, you have to do Birkat HaMazon, and then you can make a new bracha rishona after and a bracha achrona, that you basically finished your meal, you must bench, you can't even make a bracha rishona. But in any case, the Gemara then distinguishes between the two because they say, saying you want to say Birkat HaMazon, that's a hefsek. But doing Kisoy Adam, since in theory you could do Kisoy Adam at the same time and you can check the other one, that's not considered a hefsek. There's no cutoff there. And therefore, since you could both do Kisoy and Shechita at the same time, that doesn't constitute a hefsek like saying I'm going to do Birkat HaMazon because you can't both have a kosher bracha and your course of drinking at the same time, and therefore you can't compare the two. Okay, starting with the Mishnah now on Pesach. Shachat velo kisa, v'ra'au acher, chayav l'chasot. This is a strange Mishnah. Usually you would think, you do shechita, you have to do the kisoy adam yourself. But here it says, if you shechted it and you don't cover it up, and someone else sees, then they have a chiyuv to cover the blood. So if you see something, it's very interesting.
That's where Rav Mon got the Magid Shira, the Shabibo, had said that his father, before Yom Kippur, would go over to the Shulchan and said, please, please. He said there was a line of people waiting to do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam.
Ah, yafeh. So we're going to see.
Back in the days when there was a local Shulchan.
Yafeh. So here you're going to see for the sigil that maybe there's a bit of an issue here, but anyway, of what that is. But,
okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about it in a minute. It's very interesting. Kisau v'nitgale patur milchasot. Okay, now they're coming up with all sorts of cases, right? One is you see blood on the floor that nobody covered, you have to cover it. If it got covered, and then, this is a different case, right? You cover the blood, whoever it was, the shochet or someone else, and then it got uncovered and you see the blood, then you're patur milchasot because you already did the mitzvah. Okay, there's no mitzvah. Well, it's a bit of a question, right? Is it mitzvah for it to be covered? Well, you did it. It just someone, you have to remember, in those days, dirt, you know, the ground was dirt. They just kicked around the dirt. It got all messed up. But you did it properly. You know, you're claiming maybe it wasn't done properly. Here the claim is, right. No, it's a good question. Seems like it was done properly. You know, it doesn't really seem to talk about the quality of how well you covered. As long as it's covered, it's covered. If it gets uncovered, that's not your problem. But kisawa ruach, but if it didn't get covered by a person, it got covered by the wind, okay, then chayav lechasot. In other words, if it got covered by the wind and then uncovered, it seems like if it got covered for the wind and it got covered well, no problem. But if it gets uncovered, then you have a chayav lechasot. Tana Rabbanan. So now they're going to darshan this as usual, right? Start with the braita, the quotes, where we get this from the sources. Vishafach v'kisa, right? The pasuk is, so So it says v'shafach v'kisa. Sounds like Misha Shafach Yechaseh. And that's why it's interesting, the story you're telling about the Shlita, because the mitzvah is on the Shochet. Okay, and we'll see even more so in a few minutes, something even more so that seems to raise questions with that.
In the very first Mishnah, yeah. I thought it said, if he doesn't, then somebody else should.
I can't remember if it was in the Mishnah, but yeah, in other words, yes, it's true, someone else should, but the mitzvah is upon the Shochet. The mitzvah is upon the Shochet. Shachat v'lo kisa, right, so this seems to imply only if he didn't do it, right? So shachat velo kisa v'ra'ahu acher minayin shachayav l'chasot. So if already it says v'shapach v'kisa, and it seems to be the same person, how do we know that someone else sees it, he has to cover it? Shneamar v'omar l'bnei Yisrael. Okay, the next pasuk after the one we just read about kisoy adam says ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nafshahu v'omar l'bnei Yisrael dam kol basar lo tochelu. In other words, and I said to Bnei Yisrael, the dam kol basar lo tochelu, etc. The assumption is that this was then said to everybody, not just to the person who does it, but anyone else. Azhara, from here we learn, azhara lechol Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Everyone's commanded, and normally we just say it's a commandment to everyone. But this means everyone's commanded that if you see blood, because dam kol basar damo b'nav, ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nav show, therefore blood has to be covered. It's almost like, it's not just you have to cover it, but the blood has to be covered. And therefore, if you see it, you're responsible if nobody else did it. Tanya idach, another braita says like this, v'shafach v'kisa, b'masha shafach bo yechaseh. Okay, in other words, because we compare shafach v'kisa, what is that? What do we learn? Not with the implement. What do you use? Lishpoch? Right? You use your hands when you're doing the, you know, all the stuff here. So, b'masha shafach, bo yechaseh. Shelo yechasena b'regel. Shelo yu mitzvot b'zuyot alav. You have to use your hand, not your foot. Okay? Or some sort of implement, but you can't use your foot and kick. Right? You might think, oh, I don't want to get all dirty. Let me just kick the dirt. That's already not respectful to the mitzvot. Tani idach, another braita. V'shafach v'kisa, misha shafach hu yechasenu. Okay? So, again, same thing. But the braita is going to continue, and here's the interesting line that I referenced before. Ma'aseh be'echad she'shachat v'kidem chavero v'kisa. Okay, there was a guy who shechted, and his friend quickly ran over. He wanted to get the mitzvah. This is like what you're saying, they lined up at the shechit house to do this, instead of the shochet. V'kisa, and he covered it. V'chivo rabban gamliel litenlo asara zehuvim. He made him give him, now that's really a lot of money. Okay, that's 10 golden dinarim, which is like each dinar is 25 zoos. So that's a lot of money.
But maybe it's because he did it without asking, without permission. He just did it to take the mitzvah rather than to...
Okay, maybe. But he's basically stealing a mitzvah.
Right, but that's it. Okay? He's stealing it. It's different from having permission to do it.
Right.
The chet is the stealing, where the punishment is for stealing and not asking.
Right, okay. So the question is this a din in Nezikin? Are you actually... Like, this is a fascinating halacha. You steal a mitzvah from someone...
Yeah.
He says you're chayav to pay. So there's a debate about whether this is, he gave him a knas, a fine, a penalty, right? And that it was just to penalize him for it. Or is he actually took something away? It's nezikin. He took away a mitzvah and therefore he has to compensate him financially. Which obviously then, you know, the question is, what's the value of the mitzvah? So now they're going to have some questions about this. He bailu schar mitzvah or schar bracha. Is it that he stole the opportunity for him to do the mitzvah of kisoy adam? Or did he steal the opportunity for him to make a bracha? This is also very fascinating in terms of the value of a mitzvah versus the value of a bracha. In other words, is the value in the mitzvah the bracha itself, or is the value of the mitzvah? I'll give you an example. Like, for example, right, we always take the lulav, we take the etrog upside down so that we're not yosei the mitzvah before we say the bracha, because if we're yosei the mitzvah before we say the bracha, we can't say the bracha. So then, like, let's say you accidentally do it the wrong way and then you can't say the bracha, so you say, well, at least I was mekayem the mitzvah. But here they're saying, maybe there's schar bracha that you're totally missing out on, that's something significant. And again, also, I think the question is, this huge amount of money, is it the mitzvah that's more important or is it the bracha that's more important? It also reminds me, in Sephardi Shiva houses, they make sure everybody comes in and makes a bracha, that the bracha is schut for the, right? Ashkenazim always tell nobody likes to eat in a Shiva house. But Sephardim, it's all, you know, make a bracha, it's a schut. So now they say, l'may nafkamina. What's the nafkamina, whether you say it's schar mitzvah or schar bracha? So here's a good example. Librakat HaMazon. Okay, Brakat HaMazon has a number of brachot in it, but it's one mitzvah of Brakat HaMazon. So, Iyamar Tzchar Mitzvah, then Achati, then you'd have to pay 10 zuvim. Okay, if somebody stole your mitzvah of your opportunity to say Berkat HaMazon, okay, we'll talk about what exactly this is in a minute, then you've basically stolen Schar Mitzvah. But that's, and then you
it's not a
pay.
To say Berkat HaMazon.
Right now, you might say there's a difference between, I would categorize Berkat HaMazon in a different category than, let's say, a Bracha Rishona. Bracha Rishona is really just a Berkat HaNe'ani. You have to make a bracha before you eat. That's not necessarily a mitzvah, but Berkat HaMazon is the kiyum of the mitzvah, v'achalta v'savatu v'erachta. Right? You're getting a mitzvah of eating. I think it's counted as a mitzvah, I would imagine. Okay, iyamar tzchar mitzvah achati, right? So if you say tzchar mitzvah, then achati. The iyamar tzchar bracha havian arba'im. He'd have to pay him arba'im because there's four brachot in Berkat HaMazon. So because of that, he'd have to pay 40 zehuvim. My, so what's the halacha? So they say, tashma, let's learn from this story. Here we get to an interesting story. Da amar le'ahud stuki le'rebi. It was a stuki who said to Rebbe, Mishi yatzar harim lo bara ruach, umisha bara ruach lo yatzar harim. Right? This is classic. In those times, people who believe, right, there were multiple gods. So the person who created the harim didn't, the mountains didn't create the ruach, the wind, and the one who created the wind didn't create the harim. How do we know this from a pasuk in the, Amos, okay? Pasuk in the Navi. Ki hine yotzer harim uvore ruach, umagil adam masecho, ose shachar efa, v'dorech abomate aretz. Okay, I'm gonna pause before I read the last three words of the pasuk. At this point, what does it sound like? Right, there's a yotzer harim, there's a boroi ruach. Right? It sounds like there's two separate gods here. What does the end of the pasuk say? The last four words, Hashem Elokei Tzvaot Shemo. Okay, so here the stuki, either he didn't read the end of the pasuk, right, or didn't remember the whole pasuk. I don't know if he had it in front of him, but he says, you know, look at that. Amar le shote. You're such a shote, shvil l'sefe dekra, or shote shvil, you're a shote shafel, right? A degree, right? It goes with the shote, right? Shote shvil,
yeah.
Or no, shvil l'sefe dekra, so I don't understand shvil here, what?
Get to the end of the verse.
Ah, okay, proceed to the end of the verse. Hashem Tzvaot Shemo, right? It says, God is his name, he's one. Amar le, nikot li zimna tilta yome, so he says, fine, give me 3 days and I'll get an answer back to you, says the Tzduki, right? He obviously must have heard someone say this and now wants to check out where exactly this came from. You know, you got to think about before you open your mouth. Madrina lacht yuvta, and I'll give you an answer. Yativ Rebbe tlata anita. So he sat and fasted for 3 days because he wanted to make sure he would win out over the Tzduki. Kiyava kabai mivrach. So then, when he wanted to, what happened? So he ate at the end of the 3 days, and the guy didn't come, right? So when he went to, so the Girsi here says it's Mivra, not Mivrach. When he wanted to eat, like Sudat Havra'ah, right, from the Lashon of eating. So when he wanted to eat at the end of the Tanit, Amrule Stuki Kai Ababa. They said, oh, there's a stuki at your door. So, of course, what does he assume? He was so excited, like, oh, I can have my fast. He didn't come back, right? And then stuki comes to the door. So he assumes it's that stuki. What happens? Amar. So now it turns out it was a different. So first Rebbe says about himself, Vayitnu bibaruti rosh, okay, which means they're going to put in my suda, like a bitter, something really bitter, okay, meaning I was about to eat and here I thought I was having this great meal and now, oh, my meal is ruined. Amarlei, Rebbe mevaser tovot anilach. Ah, someone else comes in, it's a different stuki, and he says, I have good news for you. Lo matzat shuva oivecha v'nafal minagag v'met. Okay, yeah, wow. Okay, I don't know if this is such good news, right? He says, right, the guy never found an answer, and it really means he didn't actually fall from the roof, but he killed himself. Right, so now, okay, Amar Lo. So Rebbe says to the Tzduki now, who's here, Ritzon Chasha Tisodetzli, do you want to eat with me? Amar Lo, Hain. He says, yeah, sure, I'd love to. Thanks for inviting me. Lachar she'achlu v'shatu, after they ate and drank, Amar Le, Kosha Bracha Tashoteh. Oh, arba'im zehuvim atan otel. He says, either you know, you can drink with me for Berkat HaMazon, okay? You can drink for my kosher bracha. Okay, now they assume, since he was at Stuki, now at Stuki they mean here one of the people, you know, the minim, because that's clearly what's going on here, right? These Christian, or exactly how you define them, but they seem to be believing in more than one God, and we're trying to go against the Jews, and those are the people, the minim and the malshinim, that we added that bracha, so that they don't say a bracha, we don't answer amen. Now, the Gemara assumes here, or the Mefarshim assume, that he couldn't possibly be offering, in those days, one person said Berkat HaMazon for everybody. It wasn't that he was offering him to say Berkat HaMazon, because he would never answer Amen if it's Stuki's Bracha. That was why they instituted Lamal Shinim, so that they're not Yorei Lefnei HaTeva, they don't be the Chazan, so that we wouldn't answer from their Brachot. But he didn't even want him there answering Amen to their Berkat HaMazon. So he says, okay, he gives them a choice. He says, either you can have a kosher bracha with us, and you know you can drink. And what they claim is it was Nahug, the guy with the mizamen would make say Berkat HaMazon, and then he would distribute the cup, and everybody would drink from it, kind of like we do at Shavuot Brachot. It's a skula we say, but so they would all drink from it. So he didn't want him drinking from the kosher bracha. So he said, either you can stay and drink from the kosher bracha, or arba'im zuvim matan hotel, or I'll give you 40 zuzim to basically get out of here. Because, right? Kenya, okay, what do you see? First of all, we already proved what we wanted, which is it's the bracha, and it's the 40. And here you see, not only, right here, he was trying to, you know, this is really interesting. It's not that he was trying to steal the mitzvah from him. That's why it's interesting if you say steal it. Everyone else was going to say Berkat HaMazon also. It was just he didn't even want this person answering Amen to the bracha. Answering Amen was like Mekayim a mitzvah, and he's basically trying to get him to do a mitzvah. By the way, there's a whole machloket about this, whether it's only if you're stealing a mitzvah from someone and precluding them from doing it themselves. This story would show not even that. Just preventing someone from doing a mitzvah, even if you're not stealing it for yourself. It's still a problem, and you'd have to pay 40 zuvim.
Did that have ramifications for not letting goyim sit at your table today also? Or were they not considered?
I think, no, the minim were dangerous. They were, you know, it was more because, right, they were trying to, right, maybe a Jews for Jesus would be more of a problem. But then again, you have to remember, this is all the context of those times. Like now, we're not so fearful of missionaries for the most part. I mean, some people are. It depends where you're living, right? Maybe in certain areas, there's more of a fear. Here, there's much less of a fear. And also, they're just much fewer in number than they used to be.
He knew when he invited him to stay that he was going to.
I know. So it is a little interesting that he invited him to stay in the first place. I think maybe he just felt it was rude.
He was relieved. I mean, he was like, instant, yes, here.
So maybe he realized he made a mistake, and then he realized, I got to get out of this because I don't really.
He
didn't think it through all
the way. He was willing to invite the guy who'd given him good news and feed him, but he knew from the beginning that he would try to get him to go before the end.
Right. And what's also interesting is nobody seems to be reacting to the fact this guy committed suicide over. Right. In other words, the guy says it's good news, and Rebbe isn't horrified by what happens. You know,
yes.
We read this, he killed himself? Oh my God. So, okay. Which also, again, can be in the context. Like, maybe they were viewed as really dangerous. You know, and maybe this guy, he thought maybe he's okay, and maybe this was like a test to say, maybe also, this guy was at Stuki, but the question is, maybe there were Stukim who weren't so bad, and maybe it was a way of judging, will he take the money? Or will he go for the kosher bracha? If he goes for the kosher bracha, maybe he really does have the good intentions. He did already come and say, you know, your enemy and brought good news, as if, you know, he was on his side. So maybe it was a little bit to test him out. I think there were also sugyot that we've seen about, you know, where they were testing them out. Part of this lamal shinim, like they wanted to see, would they say it? Would they get up lifnei ateva and say it? That was the way of testing, is someone really a mean or not? Could be he wasn't really sure. So... So what do you think he chooses? Amarlo, kosher bracha nishote. Okay, he says, I don't want the money. I'd rather have a kosher bracha. Yatzda bat kol v'amra, kosher bracha yishve arba'im zehuvim. Okay, so Bako comes down and says, kosher bracha is worth 40 zehuvim. Okay, and there you have it. Okay, so that answers our question. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Adain Yeshna La Otamish Pacha Ben Gdolei Romi, Bekorin Otamish Pacha Bar Livianus. Okay, he says, by the way, that family is trying to say this guy was, you know, God had Zchuyot for what he did, and he's still existing between, you know, their family still lives on with the great Romans, and they're called the Bar Livianus. Okay, which sounds like he wasn't exactly a Jew, you know, he wasn't considered to be part of the Jewish community, but he did get Zchuyot for doing this. Okay, kisahu v'nitgale. Okay, so there's obviously a lot more to do with the story, but I didn't have enough chance to give it more thought than that. Kisahu v'nitgale. Amar le Rav Acha Bar. So this is if you cover it and then it gets uncovered, you don't have to. You're patur milechasam. Amar le Rav Acha Bar de Rav le Rav Ashi. Maishna mehashavat avida. How is this different than if someone keeps losing something? Right, the Amar Mar, we say about it, Hashev afilu me'apamim. Okay, Hashev teshivim. They say Hashev means, you know, even if you have to return it 100 times, you're still commanded to do it. So what about here? Amar lei hatam lo k'tiv mi'uta, hachtiv mi'uta v'kisahu. Until now, we kept darshing v'kisa v'shapach v'kisa. But notice the word isn't really v'kisa; it's v'kisahu ba'afar. Kisahu ba'afar. It's going to say it meaning only once, and you don't have to do it more than once. Kisahu haruach. What about this issue with the ruach? Why then, if it gets uncovered, do you have to cover it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu elah shechazar v'nitgala. So first of all, the way I explained it, right? If kisahu haruach, you don't have to then go cover it if it stayed covered by the wind. Aval lo chazar v'nitgala, if it didn't get uncovered, patur milechasot. V'chi chazar v'nitgala mai have, but why? Right? Once, if it was already if it was already covered and then got uncovered, mai ha itchele. It was already nitche from the mitzvah. In other words, what happened? You're supposed to cover it. It gets covered. You no longer have a chiyuv to cover it. So the mitzvah is what we call nidche, right? Just like we saw by korbanot. Remember with korbanot? If you have an animal that's ra'oy and then you designate him and then something happens and then he's not designated anymore, right? I forget the cases. Let's say he gets a mum that's going to, or something, and he's called dachoy. Even if it gets resolved, you can't anymore bring it. It's called dachoy, right? It's already once dachoy, that's it. So why don't we say the same thing? The mitzvah's already pushed off, right? It's kicked out of the way. Amara papa, zot omeret ein dichoy etzal mitzvah. So he says, from here you can infer that there is no such thing. Okay? So if a mitzvah comes your way and then it kind of disappears, but then the opportunity to do the mitzvah comes back, you can do it. There's no such, right, and you're chayav to do it. There's no such thing as dichoy by mitzvah.
Saying that korbanot are not a mitzvah?
Right, so korbanot that are a different category. That's because it's not ra'oy, because you can't bring something to God that was rejected. This is different. This isn't like bringing something to God. This shows, by the way, that mitzvah is not like bringing something to God, let's say, right? It's something different. It's not the same category. Umayshna mehadetanya. So how is this different from the brayta that says, Hashochet menivlad dam bakarka chayav lechasot? Okay, but wait, it says if you're shochet and the dam gets absorbed into the ground, you still have to do kisui. Right, this sounds like you have to do kisui, right? This, the ruach covers it. You don't have to do kisui as long as the ruach covers it. But if it gets absorbed into the ground, you still have to cover it. So what are the answers? These are two different cases. Hatam kisharishumonikar. In other words, this is the blood getting absorbed into the ground is when you still see the blood. That's why you have to cover it. With the ruach, something that, right, you can imagine, the blood gets absorbed into the ground, you might still notice it. Whereas if the wind comes, obviously, how's the wind coming? It's blowing, right? There's a difference between something getting absorbed into the ground and a wind coming and blowing something on top of it. Okay, new Mishnah. This is going to sound very familiar if you remember from Zvachim. Dam shenitarev b'mayim, if you have blood that mixes up with water, im yesh bo mar'idam chayav l'chasot. So you take the blood that you shechted, it gets mixed up with water, it falls into, let's say, a big tub of water. If it looks like blood still, remember this whole thing about what it looks like? If it looks like blood, then chayav l'chasot. Nitarev b'yayim, what if it gets mixed up with yayin, and we no longer know, is it noticeable or not, because it's the same color, obviously we're talking about red wine. Ro'in oto ke'ilu humayim, we evaluate the wine as if the wine is actually water. We figure out by how much quantity of wine there was, right? If ke'ilu humayim, and we figure out, right, as if it was water, if it would have mixed with water in that quantity, would it be red still or not?
At least that gives the heter for covering wine over, I mean, blood the over the flax. Yeah. No, if
the case of the bird over the water.
Yeah, because yeah, yeah, yeah. Because if it's so much water, then it would be absorbed and it wouldn't even look like water. Yeah, yeah. By the way, I was teaching a class in the afternoon yesterday, and it was a sugya in, I'm glad you reminded me, it was sugya in Baba Metzia in the sixth parak, and there's a story there about they brought these Kelim, there was a, they talk about this word avzeket, and avzeket, they say these worms ate through, and then they give this story about these, and then it's unclear, because even though they say that avzeket is worms, it seems to say, some of the Mefreshim say this was moths. Rashi says it was moths that ate through the Bigdei HaMelech, and someone came and said, the moth ate through the Bigdei HaMelech, and they said, which was it, Klei Kesef or Klei Zahav? And Rashi explains, Kesef and Zahav is Pishtan and Semer. And then the Gemara proceeds to say, some people say he said it was in the Zahav, and then they killed him because he was obviously lying, because Ash, the moths don't eat through flax clothing. And I said, wait a minute, we just learned yesterday that the moths
do
ate through the flax. So it's very interesting. I don't have an answer.
I remember that story.
And yes, and Rashi actually, so Rashi explains it that way. Other people say, no, it's talking about Zahav and Kesef, and did they tarnish or not? And is he, either which way it tarnished, the question is, was he responsible? Because should he have been responsible to take care of the Kesef and Zahav? Which actually, in the Peshat, there makes a lot more sense, and it connects with the whole context of the thing. But Rashi there is very troublesome, because he calls it Ash, the moss, and he says it doesn't eat through Peshan, and there's our sugya that he does. So, by the way, Rashi is not always consistent with different masechto, like Rashi, right? So one could say that, but still, he should have. It's not even being consistent with his shita. He should have. The pshat in the Gemara here is that it was eating through the flax. Anyway, I thought that was a funny coincidence yesterday that I was teaching them both, and it's fun when that works out. Okay. So now we go back to Mayim Nitarev B'dam HaBehema. What if it mixes up with Dam HaBehema? Now you have Dam HaBehema, which doesn't require kisoy, and Dam HaBachaya that needs kisoy. Oh, Bedam Achaya, or it mixes up with, right, this is dam, just blood of a, right, blood of a wound of a chaya, which isn't chayav and kisoy, rather than blood from the shlita. Ro'ino to ki'ilu heim mayim. Okay, we view the blood, was it water, and would it have been canceled, right, to that amount of water? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this last case, if you remember, he said the same thing in Tzvachim, ein dam bevatel dam. Okay? We only had min b'she'eno mino, two things that are different types. But blood and blood, even if it's different types of blood, dam be'ma, dam chaya from a wound, dam chaya. That is, right, that's min b'mino, dam and dam, and you can't say something's batel to something else, in which case the dam is there from the shrita, you must cover this mixture. Okay, because remember, mixtures is all about, does one cancel out the other? If you can't see the dam anymore, then we're going to say it's canceled out. But in this case, it shouldn't matter. Ein dam avatal dam. Dam hanitaz v'sha'al asakin. Okay, blood spurts out. And the blood, right, the kavanah here is outside, right, because generally you would have a hole there or something where the blood's going to go into, and that's the blood you have to cover. But if it sprays out, or sha'al asakin, or the blood that's left on the knife, maybe you think you don't have to do kisoy. Oh no, chayav lechasok. You also have to do that. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Wait a minute, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ematai, when is this though? When do you have to chayav lechasok? That's bizman she'ein sham dam elahu. That's if the only blood that you have is the blood that's sprayed out. Let's say all the blood sprayed out. There's no blood in the little hole that you made there. Ava yesh sham dam shelohu. But if there's other blood, then patur mi lechasok.
So you don't have to do all of it.
So, right, it sounds like you don't have to do all of it. Okay? Tanan hatam. Now, in case you didn't remember Zvachim, the Gemara is going to now quote the Mishnah in Zvachim. Dam shenitarev b'mayim, im yesh bo mar'it dam, kasher. This is all, can you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach? So, right, that's the classic blood in Zvachim. You want to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, or pour it on the Mizbeach. If it mixed up with water, so again, if it looks like dam, it's still red, kasher. Nitarev b'yayim, ro'ino toki iluhu mayim. Nitarev b'dam be'ema, b'dam chaya, ro'ino toki iluhu mayim. Okay, so again, right, all the same case. It mixes up with the here of dam be'ema, or dam chaya. Dam chaya, obviously, you don't do the zrikat adam because there are no korbanot with chaya. And dam be'ema must be blood from an animal, not from the shchita. Because again, the only blood you're zrika is the shchita. Ro'ino, so again, ro'ino toki iluhu mayim, and then you assess, is the blood canceled into there or not? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ein dam bevatal dam. Okay, and likewise, he says there, consistent with his approach. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. But now, on that Mishnah, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela shenaflu mayim litoch dam. Do you remember this? This is only if water falls into the blood. Aval nafal dam litoch mayim, but if the blood falls into the water, then rishon batel. Every time a drop falls in, we say, oh, that drop is batelta, right? And then you end up with this, every time a drop goes in, it gets canceled into the mixture, because every time the drop goes in, once it gets canceled, the whole mixture is now water. So you can't add up all those drops into an amount and view it as a whole amount. So therefore, the whole Mishnah must be only in a case where naflu mayim l'toch dam, but not dam l'toch mayim. Amar Rav Papa, ule inyan kisoy eino kem. But Rav Papa says that's only for korbanot, and can you do zrikat adam? But for kisoy, we don't say that, and why is that? This goes back to what we just said at the end of the last sugya. Ein dichoy etzal mitzvot. Because what happens, right? If you say every drop goes, then it's canceled and pushed up, and then, you know, no. Again, we make the same distinction between what's ra'oy for a korban. There we say it was nidche, basically. It was canceled. Once it's canceled, it's dachoy, right? You don't have to sprinkle it anymore. Well, then the whole thing is mine. In this case, yes, it's true, each one is going to be canceled, but when it all adds up and you end up with dam there, then it reverts back to having a chiyuv of a mitzvah. So it's not canceled out. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, now we're moving on to something else. Kol mareh admumit, anything that looks like red, mechaparim, umachshirin, v'chayavim b'kisoy. Okay, so this is basically like our Mishnah, but it's going to talk about a few different things, and it connects with the Zvachim, and it's going to add one more thing. Anything that looks red, meaning if you have blood that mixes with water and it looks red, or mixes with anything and it looks red, then, number one, mechaprim, you can sprinkle this blood on the Mizbeach or pour it on the Mizbeach, right, if it's Mizbeach blood. Umachshirin, it's considered, remember, Yad Shachat Dam, and Dam, right, the Dalet, those are the Rashi Teva for the seven Mashkin, that if it falls on something, it's Machshir, that item. L'kabel Tum'ah. And until something falls, right, let's say you have food, until it gets wet after you harvest it. It's not Chayav. It can't be Makabel Tum'ah. And if you remember, the Pasuk there says, Ki Yutan Mayim Al Zera. Now, because it says yutan, but it's spelled yitain, okay? Right, that's how it works. They say yutan means it got put on. That's the way we read it. But the way it's spelled is yitain. Because it looks like yitain, we darshan, it has to be that you intended for it to be, you intended the liquid to be on there. Okay, now within that, they make a distinction. Okay, I'm just giving you background to what we're going to see. So it has to be you intended the water. So for example, if you harvest your crops and you put them in a pile and then it rains, the rainwater is not machshir lekabel tumah. But if you spilled water nearby, let's say you collected water to use for some reason, so you had intent for this water to be used, since water is generally used as opposed to rainwater, you don't have kavanah forever, right? But unless you had kavanah that you wanted it to get wet. If you wanted it to get wet from the rainwater, then it would count. But regular water, let's say, that spills on it, that's going to count also, because the water you already collected and have had da'at for it to be used for something, so that already can be machshir even without your da'at. But rainwater, which doesn't come from your intent at all, can't be machshir if you had no intent, okay? So anyway, that's just background. We're not using that yet.
You saw something somewhere about water dripping off a wall.
Yeah.
You stored something right next to a wall.
Yeah. And the water dripped. Right. Exactly. We did see that. So komar ad mumit mechaprim u'machshirin, and it's machshir, so as long as it looks like blood, v'chayavim b'kisoy, and you have to cover it. So Gemara says, my kamashalam, what are you teaching us? The zavius. Mechaprim tanina. Right? We already learned. Mechaprim, that was the Mishnah Zvachim. We just quoted. If it looks like red, then it's fine. So he doesn't need to tell us this, right? Why Rav Yehuda tell us something in the Shmuel if the Mishnah says it explicitly? Tanina chayavim. It already says in the Mishnah, you're chayavim. Im Zvachim. Bekisoy tanina. Also, bekisoy, it says, you're chayav. And machshirin, it's drichale. What? For machshirin, you need it? Obviously, it's dam, right? It looks like dam. Well, it's like anything. Machshirin nami, but they say machshirin nami, you need, why? Idam ichshire machashre, I didn't read it right. Machshirin itzri chale, they say the whole reason, since there's no explicit mission about machshirin, it's coming to teach you about the machshirin. So once the machshirin, it brought up the other issues, derech agav, but that's why he said it. So they say machshirin nami, what do you mean? Machshirin is also obvious. E dam ichshurim machashrei, right? If it's dam, then obviously it's machshir lekabel tumah. E maya ichshurim machashrei. Here's a combination of things. If it's water, it's going to be machshir lekabel tumah. If it's blood, it's going to be machshir lekabel tumah. So what's the difference? Lotzrichu shetmado b'meik shamin. The cases where you mixed it with rainwater. That's why I gave you the background, because rainwater is not machshir lekabel tumah unless you intend it. So if you mix it with rainwater, they're going to say it's a problem. So then I say, what do you mean? What kind of make shamim? Make shamim nami kevan deshaka varame achshevinhu. If you mix it with rainwater, we're assuming it must have been you collected the rainwater. Now, once you collect the rainwater, that's already water. There was intent there, and therefore, even if it falls by accident, it's still going to be okay. It's going to be machshir lekabel tumah. So they say lo tzricha shenitmedu me'alehen. It must be rainwater that dripped into, right, that fell from the sky into your blood and got mixed up, and that's what we're talking about. So again, then what's it teaching us? That if it looks like blood, then it's going to count like blood and not like the rainwater, which wouldn't be machshir lekabel tumah. So that's one answer. Rav Asi min Harbil Omer, he gives a different answer. Bitzalata de dama. It's talking about this is what they call the plasma of the blood. Maybe there's other terminology to it, which is that the blood, if it sits for a long time, it separates. And you end up with the coagulated blood at the bottom, and you end up with this yellowish mixture at the top. So what they're talking about is, if not blood at all, we're talking about that plasma, the blood plasma, which doesn't look like blood at all, if it has some blood mixed in still, then we're going to call that blood. Okay? If it doesn't, then already it's not considered a liquid at all. Okay? It's not called blood anymore, because it's just the plasma and it's not blood, and that wouldn't be machshir lekabel tumah if that fell on something.
Not considered a liquid, it's a liquid. It's just not considered one of the seven liquids.
Right. That's true. Yes. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difti Amar Anush Karet. He says if you eat this blood, this plasma that's mixed up with some blood, you get karet, v'hu de'ika kezayit. That's as long as there's kezayit of blood in that mixture. That is a big, if there's kezayit of blood mixed up with the plasma, then of course it's, so there's a big debate about what exactly is going on here. It could be that they mean if there's kezayit in an amount that if you ate it, right, remember there's always kezayit b'chteachila pras, there has to be an amount of kezayit in a bigger mixture that if you were to eat it b'chteachila pras, right, in a certain amount of time, right, a certain amount, like the proportion of kezayit to the whole has to be, if once there's that amount, then if you ate the plasma, it would still, you'd be chayav. There's a bunch of different interpretations exactly as to what the chidush is here. B'manita tan, in a braita, they talk about a similar case with this blood plasma, mitamim ba'ohel, v'hu de'ika revi. Now, when it comes to eating, and it's, what are they saying here, basically? They're saying, kiso adam, you're chayav in any shiur. Okay, if there's, as long as it looks a little bloody, right, there's some blood mixed in, it looks red, you're chayav. Kisoy adam, you're chayav for, it's mechaper, you can sprinkle on the mizbeach, and it's machshir lekabel tumah. But if you're going to eat it, you're only going to be chayav if there's a shear of eating, which is a kezayit. And if it's going to be mitame ba'ohel of a mate, right, the blood of a dead person can be mitame ba'ohel, but again, it has to have a shear of blood that can be mitame, which is a revit. Okay, v'udika revit. So the other cases, we don't need a shear, we just need it to look like blood. In these cases, you need a particular shear. Tanan Hatam, so now they're going to quote a Mishnah, right? This is, I think it's a Tosefta, right? Yeah, Ana Mishnah B'Shum Makom L'Mesorat HaShah says, Ala Brai Tizo, I think it's actually in the Tosefta, in the Tosefta. Tosefta of Ohalot, Tosefta of Ohalot, and it says here also Tosefta of Machshirin. Kol Mashke HaMeit Tehorim, Chutz Midamo, okay, anything that comes out of a dead body, okay, any liquids that come out, okay, they talk about it could be breast milk comes out, interesting, or some sort of, I guess it could be urine or some sort of liquid comes out of the body, that's not mitame, okay, because it's already dead, we don't consider that mitame, except for blood, because blood of a dead person is mitame, we already know that, right? Bechom chutz midamo, bechom mareh admumit shebo, okay, and any of these, any liquid that comes out that's reddish, because the reddish means it has blood in it. But now this seems to contradict, because it says, Mashket tfu, by the way, that was just a quote where we see, because it said, Tana mitamim ba'ohel, right? There's a brayta where it says, it's mitamim ba'ohel. Oh, that's from here, okay? This is the brayta where it said, it's mitamim ba'ohel, which is a tosefta. So now they say, this seems to contradict Mishnah in Tfulyom. Mashket Tful Yom. What's a Tful Yom? He went to the mikveh in the morning. He's not. He can't eat Truma Ramasro until the evening, so he still has a bit of Tuma on him, but he's already gone to the mikveh, so he's not exactly Tameh. So Mashket Tful Yom. I forget the girsa here is, the way to read it. Mashket Tful Yom. And now they're relating to, right, it's in parentheses, but the mashkim hayotzim mimenu, anything that comes out of liquids that come out of this person's body, kim mashkim shenogabahem, they have the same din of anything that a tful yom would touch, okay? Which is that, okay, we're going to see, ve'elu ve'elu ein mitamim, okay? Which means what? If he touches something, he can mess up truma. Let's say he touches truma, he passes the truma. But those things that he touches can't mess up anything else. Okay? They're not...
It doesn't contaminate chulin, but it renders tumah and kodesh.
Right. And those items, though, right, they're shlishi. So shlishi, you know, what does it mean? It means anything that comes out of his body is a sheni, and the sheni can be metameh a shlishi, but it can't. They can't take it any farther because there is no farther in truma, right? There is for kodesh, but not for truma. Ushar kolat me'im bein kalim bein chamurim, and all other tmeim, this is a tful yom, but any other kind of tmeim, whether they're tmeim kalim or tmeim chamurim, mashkim ayotzim mehem kim mashkeh anogeh bahem. Anything that comes out is like a mashkeh anogeh, which is the same thing. But here's the difference. Eilu ve'elu tchila. But they said anything that comes out of them become a risho, not a sheni. Before we said they were a sheni, which could be mitame. Oh, wait. Before they were a shlishi, which could be mitame.
Truma and kodesh.
Right, no, sorry. The mashkim were a sheni, and they could be mitame truma, but that couldn't be mitame anything else. Now you're saying the mashkim ayotzim from these people are a risho. Chutz min mashkeh, except for liquids, shehu avatuma. That goes even back to become an avatuma. So now the question is, and this is where we're going to have our problem, my kalin umay chamulim, doesn't it sound like my lav kalim sheretz v'chamulim mate? In which case, what do we have here? Mashkim that come out of a mate or mitamim. And what do we just say? Mashkim yotzim in a mate or not mitamim. So what do they answer? Oh no, don't assume kalim and chamulim were sheretz and mate. Kalim sheretz v'chamulim zav. Okay, so now what do we have here? When it comes to sheretz and zav, they were mitame mashkim ayotzim. Someone who's tummy too much sheretz or too much zav, any mashkim ayotzim, right? They could be either avatum or rishon lutum, depending, right, what it is, whether it's mashkim or other things. So, but mate, the mashkim or torim, that seems awfully odd, right? We're always more machmar and mate. So here's an interesting way to end today. Maishna zav de gazer be'rabbanan, umaishna mate de lo gazer be'rabbanan. Why the rabbis we make this gzeirat mashkim ayotzim mehem that they're so severe, but not in a mate? De zav de lo bedile inish mine gazru be rabbanan. Mate de bedile inish mine lo gazru be rabbanan. A mate, first of all, everyone knows it's a mate. Everyone's going to stay far away from the mate. They don't want to get tameh. So there was no reason for a gzera. Whereas when it comes to a zav, people don't necessarily know he's a zav, right? A zav is some guy who has a discharge. How is everyone going to know he's a zav? So because of that, they were very machmir in any mashkim ayotzimehem, so that people will realize he's tameh and be more careful around him. So because of that, we're dafka machmir on something that's less chamor in order to have it noticed.